And good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with
Aaron Moore.
Yeah.
Did you forget my name?
No, I was looking for Patty.
Patty's not here. Patty is deathly ill and would have coughed through the whole show. So,
well, not deathly ill.
Well,
I mean, that sounds so morbid.
Well,
Patty's on her way. She'll be here at 4 o'clock.
Exaggeration for dramatic effect.
Yeah. And Laurent is taking Gabrielle, his 5-year-old, to see Santa Claus today.
To start a lifetime of awkward pictures.
Uh-huh. I warned him. What did you think of Santa Claus when you were young? I got into an argument with somebody about this week.
I used to challenge Santa Claus. Would you expect anything less of
no,
me?
No, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd give him the third degree. I'd ask him questions and
now, see, I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood. No Santa Claus.
Well,
in my nursery school, I remember I was 4 years old, and I didn't go every day, so I didn't know that we were going, and I got there that day. Why do I remember all these details about it? I was four. And they took us to see Santa Claus. I had no preparation. I didn't really know who Santa Claus was, really.
Right.
And he scared the living out of me.
Yeah, Santa Claus can be scary. It's kind of it's almost a clown-like situation.
So I don't have this loving, wonderful, ooh, he's just Santa Claus. It's like, no, don't take those children to see Santa Claus. He's scary.
You know, my niece, until she was probably in her teens, and she would kill me if she knew I was telling the story, was scared of Santa Claus because a strange man was coming into their house.
Mm.
I mean, that's the story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, bad. Mm-hmm. she was terrified of Santa Claus until she realized that was the guys for getting gifts.
I get it. Yeah. I find it very, very scary. Anyway, so Laurent is out today. Patty's out today. They'll both be back next week. Aaron is here. We're just going to talk a little bit about the news. The big news in Texas, I guess, for the gay community overnight, Sylvester Turner won.
He
was the Democrat running against a Republican who was using still the anti-hero stuff. It lost, and his whole campaign had to do with Hero.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Hill, what's his name, I think? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Him.
Him. Tight race. And really, really got to say I'm disappointed in Chris Bell for endorsing Hill. You know, Chris Bell ran as a Democrat for governor a few times back, and I just not sure why he went that route, but thank goodness Sylvester Turner pulled it out. And I got to give a shout out to the people that worked in that election, Chris Banks and a guy whose name I'm blanking on, right, Brad Pritchett, who are former Stonewall colleagues who really, really, really worked that race very hard, and they prevailed. So, yay.
Do you know what? They really didn't know how this race was going to go. Mm-hmm. And the Hero election, we should have won that one.
I'm so over Hero right now.
I am too. But I think the reason Sylvester Turner won was that the loss of Hero scared people to death, and they finally got out and voted.
Well, yeah. I mean, just playing on all those primal, uneducated, boogeyman fears with Hero, I think you're right. I think it scared a lot of people that were saying, oh, Houston is never going to vote that way, or Houston's not that backwards, or Houston's not that gullible, or Houston's not dot, 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 fill in the blank. And Hero, for those of you that don't know, is the Houston Equal Rights Ordinance election that lost in Houston with a lesbian mayor. There are just so many fear tactics around that whole race that I think you're right. I think it scared people, but still it was way closer than it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Way closer. I think when the last time I looked, there was like 100 votes separating them.
No, it was a little bit more than that.
I know. The final tally wasn't that, but I'd already gone to bed.
Yeah.
Because I'm old now.
Yeah, you are.
I know.
You know what? The article I have up in front of me doesn't
have it. But, yeah, it was 51-49.
Something like that, yeah.
Really, really, really close vote.
It was within 1,000 votes.
Okay, good.
I think.
Yeah, but 1,000 votes in a city of
three million,
yeah. That's ridiculously
close. That's frighteningly
close. And I wouldn't be surprised if, as punitive and petty as the other side is, if they don't call for a recount. But it was Fort Bend, surprisingly, that put it over the top. And Fort Bend is very conservative, so I was happy to see that happening. And that kind of lends credence to the old, you know, the moderate Republicans are tired of all the Tea Party scare tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And they got out and voted.
Good.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Good. Excellent. You know, I mean, you know, there's backlash on all sides. Mm-hmm. We're not the only ones that get to experience backlash. They get to experience some backlash, too, for being stupid about saying things are bathroom ordinances and campaign slogans that fit on a bumper sticker.
You know, I met Sylvester Turner. Have you ever met him? Mm-hmm. He's been a state rep. Mm-hmm. I met him at the Houston Parade. Yeah, nice guy. I met him at the Houston Parade. They were the entry right behind our entry. Mm-hmm. We were the gay marriage entry, the Jewish gay marriage entry in the parade. And Sarah,
all three of you?
No. We had over 100 people who came in for it.
Okay.
From around the state. And Sarah and Suzanne, the couple that had married back in February when they sued to be able to get married for health reasons, they were on top of a big wedding cake that we had, and about 100 of us around. But Sylvester Turner had a great turnout with him. He had well over 100 people marching with him.
He's very progressive. He's very fiery. Mm-hmm. He's a very passionate guy.
But when I was talking to him, he was just a nice guy.
No, he's a nice guy. Yeah, I mean, he's Houston's Rafael Enchia.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Good way to describe him.
Yeah.
Nice guy. Anyway, I'm glad he won. I was wondering what is going on in Houston.
Well, and it gives us hope for getting the Equal Rights Ordinance passed again, one. And two, I think it really does show that maybe Houston did wake up a little bit and didn't just concede the race.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I just hope so. Let's bring it back to Dallas. Susan Hawk.
Yes.
You work for the county, so, and I'm asking you this just as a, how does this work?
Okay.
The district attorney in Ellis County was appointed to prosecute the case against her.
Correct.
What is the actual case?
The case is...
Just in general terms.
Yeah. The case is was filed by Cindy Stormer, who was a former employee who got fired. And essentially, I mean, in 20 words or less, it's for negligence of duty for leaving. Yeah, I mean, she can take as much
time. For disappearing.
She can take as much time off as she wants. She's an elected official as long as the duties of the office are being fulfilled. And Cindy is claiming that that did not happen, that the duties of the office were not being fulfilled. And there's also allegations of financial misfeasance for using the there's a surrendered fund that proceeds from, like, confiscated cars or confiscated illegal property and all that. It's auctioned, and there's all kinds of fees that come into that office. And Cindy Stormer is alleging that those funds were misused, which is all part of the duties of the office were not being fulfilled.
So in Texas, if you have cause, you can't just sue somebody and say, well, you know, Aaron, I want you out of office.
Correct.
If you have cause, you can actually bring a lawsuit to remove somebody from office. It doesn't have to be done by the legislature.
It's actually, I think, the only way you can do it. And it's very obscure, very seldom used, if at all, law. And it has to be something akin to personal injury for the public. You know, these people, the public elected her, and she has done personal injury to the public. And so if all that happens, if they succeed in removing Judge Hawk, then the governor gets to appoint her replacement.
All of the other county offices, district clerk, county clerk, treasurer, any of those other positions, it's the commissioner's court who appoints somebody.
That's correct.
In for district attorney, it's the governor who appoints.
Right.
So we could get...
Bad people.
Bad.
Bad man. Bad people.
No, we could get...
Kim Paxton, point two.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. The words that were about to come out of my mouth... Josh was going to have to reach up to the machine up there and bleep me.
To the 30-second delay.
We could get crazy.
Yeah. We could get,
real bad.
And for those that don't know her, Susan Hawk is pretty darn moderate. Mm-hmm. He was even ran as a Democrat for a while. I mean, has always been Republican-like.
You know, she lives in Oak Lawn.
Exactly. And which is the next thing we need to talk about. But she is, you know, she is not bad. And we should I don't want to go so far as to say we should support her because I don't know what the backgrounds are, but if she gets ousted and the governor gets to replace her, then we need to really worry, and we need to pay attention, and we need to...
And that's not saying anything about guilt or innocence in this case at all.
No.
Because we don't have any of the information. It's just we don't like the alternative if this were to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's the one elected office in Dallas County that could have real hard, bad consequences. Mm-hmm. So, but, I mean, and Joshunk is trying to come back from her episode and has had several town halls where she's been very frank about her condition.
And she has one tomorrow night.
She has one tomorrow night that we think is going to be focused on the hate crimes, or, well, I shouldn't say hate crimes because they haven't been determined that, the battery and assaults and robberies that have been happening in Oaklawn.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in the area, as you said, is very concerned about it. Wants the community to be clear on what can and cannot be termed a hate crime, and whether or not these cases fit it.
See, here's part of the problem, and we were talking about this when we had three of the hate crime victims on the show.
Uh-huh.
It's not a matter – what she can prosecute as a hate crime is one thing.
Right.
But the police need to be investigating these things as possible hate crimes. They need to be investigating them as possible. Leave that option open. Don't tell somebody who is just hit over the head with a baseball bat and not robbed that yours is not a hate crime.
But how does...
yours was a robbery. What was it? It was not a robbery.
How does... Okay, so you and I disagree on this, which could be a lively show.
You and I never disagree, so let's...
How do you investigate something differently if you're investigating
because
it as a hate crime?
Because if you've closed off your mind to the idea that this could be a hate
that's
crime...
That's not their job, though, David. That's not the police's job.
No, you're right. It's their job to keep their mind open and look at all possible motives. And when you look at all motives, then you're more likely to be able to... You're less likely to discount somebody as a possible suspect because all reasons could be out there.
True. But they don't – I don't know that the police determine motive. The police determine who did – you know, I mean, that can help them find the facts of the case and who did it, but
– And here was the problem. What the police were telling some of the victims was, well, only one of these is a hate crime. The rest of them are robberies. Well, Michael Dominguez, who was on our show, he wasn't robbed.
Right.
But his is not being called a hate crime because there's no evidence of hate crime because they conked him out right at the beginning. He didn't hear or feel or whatever the rest of the attack.
I understand, but here's the flip side to your equation. If they start looking for prejudice and hate crime groups, they could miss who's actually doing this.
I'm not – that's why I said – investigate it as a possible hate crime. Leave the motive open. Don't discount the motive.
Right.
Don't discount it.
Right.
And that's all I'm saying.
Well, and in her town hall, I think, you know, and she stopped by the other day and asked me if I was going to be there, and I said yes. And she told me point blank that she wants to be very clear about what is and isn't a hate crime, what can and can't be prosecuted
as a hate crime. And that's different because she has to prosecute.
Understand. And as far as the police go, you know, you were at the same meeting I was at with the police saying that aggravated robbery, although it sounds like a diminutive charge, like not very important and we're not paying much attention to this, is actually second only to murder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it. I mean, that's as high as you can go without actually killing someone. So they are investigating these crimes and will be prosecuting these crimes as if they were, you know, the most serious charge they can levy.
These are serious felonies. We understand that.
Okay. But my point is that keeping hate crimes in the back of your mind, I mean, I think I think you're making an emotional argument. I think statutorily and procedurally, the police are doing what they can. And the most telling thing to me was when one of them said, this is personal. Because this happened, one of these happened an hour after we had a town hall about these happening.
Mm-hmm.
So they're taking it personal.
Yeah.
You know, personally. I watch too much Law and Order. That's how they talk. They're taking it very personally. And besides any of that, I think the presence in Oakland has been a real boon to
the reason they caught two people last weekend.
That has nothing to do with what's going on at
Oak Lawn. That had nothing to do with what was going on at Oak Lawn. It happened in a garage across from Parkland Hospital.
Right.
It was a carjacking. They arrested two 18-year-old kids who several people have said were involved in something a while ago.
Right.
Also.
Right.
That had nothing to do with it. But because of the increased police presence, when they caught up to them, there were about 15 police cars at 2 in the morning. I had somebody that I know who drove by there at the time, didn't know what was going on, but he looked. He said, I never saw so many police cars at one place. He said, I thought, you know, God knows what had happened at that 7-Eleven. Because of the increased police presence, they swarmed in. They had the time to actually figure out that these two kids were not just, you know, they were up to no good.
You know what scares me, though? I mean, I shouldn't say it scares me, but I'm worried that the increased police presence in Oak Lawn, the perimeter is too tight, because I think that, you know, it's the old line of if you build a 10-foot wall, you'll get a 12-foot ladder. You know, that they're just going to move further and further out from the community, and it may make them harder to catch. However, I certainly do feel safer in the neighborhood with the police there. I was there a couple of nights ago and actually had two people walk me to my car because of the occurrences. And I felt a little silly at the time, but then I was like, you know what? I'd rather feel silly than be dead. You know, so.
It's not silly, though.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I hate to say it's what we have to get used to. It's just a good idea. It's never been a completely safe neighborhood.
Well, yeah, but it's never been...
It's never been like this.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's never been completely safe, and this has made us...
So so Judge Hawk's town hall should be interesting to see...
And it's at 6:30 tomorrow.
6:30 at
Cathedral of Hope. Mm-hmm. Which is the corner of Inwood and Cedar Springs.
Inwood, yeah.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron...
No. Wow, habit, right?
Wow, yeah.
Just me.
With Laron Moore. Laron Moore. And we'll be back with more weekly after this. KNON is having its first annual toy drive. KNON's collecting toys for the kids at Children's Medical Center. KNON will be accepting your toys at our studios from now until December 20th. You can also drop off your toys at La Hacienda Furniture Store in Mesquite, Sons of Herman Hall in Deep Ellum, Forever Young in Grand Prairie, and Vado Loco in Arlington, or Top 10 Records in Oak Cliff. On the final day, that's next Sunday, we're going to have a toy drive party from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So during our show, so come by the studio. We, you know, we need to plan a fun show for next week.
Who do they go to?
Toys go to Children's Medical Center to the kids there.
Nice.
So bring an unwrapped gift. We're going to have other DJs who are here. There'll be food. There'll be fun, and there'll also be us.
Yeah.
Are you going to come next week?
Which could be food and fun.
Could be food and fun.
Yeah.
You going to come next week?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, you're welcome to come. Anyway, bring a new unwrapped toy for the children. You know, don't bring it wrapped because that way we don't know what it is and it's harder to give out to the kids. For info,
gender stereotype the toys.
Well, I'm thinking more age stereotype some of the toys.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because Children's Medical Center takes up to about age 18, so...
Small parts.
Yeah, you don't want to give...
Choking hazard.
Yeah, exactly. For information or sponsorships, call 214-828-9500, extension 227. Come by next week. Our studio is on the northwest corner of Central Expressway and
North Haven,
North Haven Road.
Right by Cindy's Deli on North Haven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And our studio faces the parking lot. You park in the parking lot facing North Haven. So come on by and...
Is it just me or have there been... And maybe I'm just more attuned to it this year, but there seems to be a lot more toy drives and food drives and clothing drives and coat drives and shoe drives and drives and all this kind of stuff. And I don't know if it's the economy, but... Which I don't think so. What I think it is I think people are starting to feel more philanthropic this year. And I don't know why. I mean, it's just this general sense, and maybe it's just me being silly,
well,
but...
this is a new toy drive.
Yeah. It's like people, you know, it's like in the Grinch when his heart grew two sizes, you know, mm-hmm. and burst out of the picture frame. I feel like there's a real spirit of Christmas this year, spirit of giving, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, bring a toy.
Exactly. Yeah. And come by and stay for
come
the show.
Come by, yeah.
And we'll plan a fun show
say
for
hi.
Next week. The Dallas Marathon. Did you do the marathon?
I did not do the marathon.
I did, but this being Dallas,
yeah.
I drove.
Oh, you drove the marathon? That's nice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I knew about the marathon, which I think is more than most people did.
It was pouring this morning.
Yeah.
It started at 6:30. It was pouring.
Although I know we don't usually do this on the show, but shout out to Jeff Strader, who's a friend and ally and
he
colleague.
He is out of his mind.
He ran the half marathon this morning.
So 13 miles.
So, yeah, but good for anybody that did it. I know a lot of people who were going to do it. So, and Natalie Amberson, who's with HRC, did it too.
Oh, did she?
I think she ran the full marathon, though.
Huh.
So,
Natalie, you're also out of your mind. Do you know what Cincinnati did?
What?
Their city council voted to ban conversion therapy. Now, several states have done that, Oregon and New Jersey and California,
right.
Washington, D.C., but now a city. Well, Washington, D.C. is a city, but separate type of government. But Cincinnati's city council voted to ban conversion therapy.
Okay.
Why don't we do that?
We could do that.
Need to suggest it to the LGBT...
task force?
Task force?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd rather see it done at the state level. I mean, it is abuse.
Yeah, good luck.
Well, I mean, even that I think we can maybe agree on. But
I don't.
Okay.
I really don't.
It would
certainly
be a good conversation to have.
It sure would be.
But, I mean, it's more and more and more considered abuse, a lot like electroshock therapy used to be, to try and to change someone's true nature, you know? So... We could do that. I mean, we could certainly start the conversation on the city level.
Now, the Cincinnati law has a penalty of a $200 fine if you do it.
Try to convert
them. At the city council meeting, there were about 100 people who came to speak against this law. They were saying freedom of speech and right to association and freedom of religion and all these freedoms. I don't think freedom to abuse a kid. And this is to ban conversion therapy among kids 18 and younger.
Well, yeah. I'm speechless. I'm gobsmacked, as they say across the pond.
Yeah, but you would never suggest therapy that doesn't work for somebody.
Well, but how do you even start to claim that as freedom of religion?
Because it's religions that are pushing this.
I know, but no. You don't know. To me, that's right up there with the vaccine thing. It's like, I'm sorry, if you never let your kid leave your house, go ahead and don't vaccinate them. But if they have to interact with anybody ever, it's my health that you're endangering.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing. It's like, no. I'm curious what the fine is for the people who say they were converted when they get caught in the bathrooms. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, it's like...
It teaches not just... It doesn't just screw with people's minds in a bad way. It teaches them how not to have relationships, really.
Well,
it teaches you to have a relationship with somebody that you're never going to be attracted to.
Right. It's okay to be straight as long as you're faking it. I mean, I just, yeah, I don't understand. But anyway, I mean, conversion therapy we know is bad. But yay for Cincinnati.
But I think that's interesting on a city level they're doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know what effect it would, what force it could have. I don't know if you can do that on a city level.
You can't. That's what I'm saying. It's probably just getting the conversation mm-hmm. started. That is definitely something that has to be done at the state level.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really like to see us... And Equality Texas, if you're listening, I would like to see us include that next year. There are several resolutions that are going to go on the Democratic ballot.
Oh, what are they?
Democratic primary. And I don't have them in front of me, which is why I was kind of hesitating. But several of them deal with LGBT, including this, you know, birth certificate stuff and the adoption stuff. And
In Texas, all of that's been settled, basically.
Yeah.
It basically has been. Judge Orlando Garcia, who's the U.S. District Judge in San Antonio, who ruled on marriage equality in Vic and Mark's case back a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. We like him.
We do. But he's been adamant about Texas upholding his decision. His decision was affirmed by the Fifth Circuit, and he ordered in August that Ken Paxton either stop discriminating or show up in his court on contempt of court charges. Now, the first thing that he was told to stop discriminating on was a death certificate. And Jay Hoskins, his husband had died 6 months before, 9 months before, and he wanted his husband's death certificate updated to show that he was the spouse. So it seemed like Paxton was really dragging his feet on that one, because it was a couple of days before he actually issued the new death certificate, and he was up on contempt of
court.
Was
he late because he had, yeah, I was going to say.
Do you know what actually happened?
I
was talking to Neil Lane, who was the attorney for Mark and Vic, who actually filed this motion.
Yes.
And Neil said, no, Jay was just being stubborn, and he kept sending it back to Paxton and saying, no, you have spelling wrong here. No, this isn't correct. This isn't
nice.
The way I want it. And he kept sending it back, so it took a day and a half till he got the death certificate he wanted. But anyway, so Orlando Garcia said to Neil Lane, the attorney for Akin Gump, for Mark and Vic, how else are gays and lesbians being discriminated against? How are they not getting equal, gay married couples not getting equal treatment to opposite sex married couples? And he said, well, on birth certificates. On a birth certificate,
right.
You know, if one parent gives, if a mother gives birth, the father's assumed to be the father. Well, with a lesbian couple, he gave this example. He said, a lesbian mother gave birth.
Yeah.
The other mother, her wife, mm-hmm. adopted the child,
mm-hmm.
and Texas took the birth mother off the birth certificate and just left the adoptive mother on the birth certificate. He said, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
Garcia heard that, went through the roof, gave Paxton exactly 3 weeks to fix it, and he did. And there are still some examples, because one of the things they found in trying to fix this is that it's not just a simple fix. We're trying to make it equal.
Mm-hmm.
And in certain cases, if you weren't married at the time of the birth,
right.
Well, it's not automatic. It's not automatic for the straight couple either.
Right.
So, but they've made it pretty. Okay, here's what's going on elsewhere, though.
Well, wait. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to Neil Lane and Akin Gump and marriage. Because Texas has been ordered to pay $600,000 to reimburse Akin Gump for their having to defend
for
marriage equality. Yeah,
yeah,
for the lawsuit.
Yeah,
so.
If you lose a lawsuit, the losing side pays.
So I think we should make some case for fiscal responsibility, that it is fiscally irresponsible to fight these laws,
mm-hmm.
and just move on.
But Texas has basically done that, and that surprises me. But Texas basically has done it. If there's some case where somebody is not being treated equally,
mm-hmm.
You can make a couple of calls, and somebody will help you with that.
Yeah.
And it will get straightened out.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's enough of, it's a Red Rover game right now. There's enough of us and them to make it interesting.
There are just enough odd cases.
Yeah.
Like there was one case, Tarrant County, a couple had filed a common law marriage.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they filed a common law was because they needed their marriage dated back
to
before one of the partners retired from Dallas County, from Dallas City, for his retirement.
For the retirement fund. I have the referenda if you're interested.
Okay.
The Democratic Party referenda for ballot 2016 is going to be one. There's six of them. One on economic security and prosperity. It's Paycheck Fairness Act, essentially. Fair criminal justice system. So it's the whole race and socioeconomic disparity. Climate, that's self-evident. Voting Rights Act. Should the United States Congress pass the new Voting Rights Advancement Act to protect all American voters? And that's vaguely worded, but that includes LGBT. That's restoring, I'm sorry, that's not that one. There's one, what am I thinking of? It is the Voting Rights Act, isn't it? Where they're trying to include LGBT in the, LBJ legislation. God, I'm losing my mind. I'm sorry. I'm getting sick too, y'all. Number five, on-campus carry. Should the Texas legislature allow each public institution of higher education, not only private institutions, to opt out of campus carry? Comprehensive immigration reform. Pass a just and fair comprehensive immigration solution that includes earned citizenship, protects dreamers, keeps families together. So that's the six that you're going to be voting on.
In the Democratic primary which is what
ballot.
Date, do you know?
It's March.
Third week of March?
I think
like
it's first.
First?
Yeah, it's early this year. March 1st.
Oh, okay. And yeah. Republicans will not be voting on whether or not to secede.
Well, I can't say that. That's right.
No, I think they decided not.
You're right. They voted against that, and they voted against
moving the convention out of Dallas.
Out of Dallas to punish us for
being non-discrimination.
Right. Speaking of bigots.
Going back to Texas, I expected Texas to just be way at the back of the pack, and really we got everything implemented by the end of the summer.
Yeah.
We were well on our way, and anything that had not been fixed, well, there were a few things that we needed to straighten out, but nobody was blaming anybody. It was just, here's how you do it. If you're straight, here's how you do it if you're gay.
Mm-hmm.
And are these equal? Yes, they are. No, they're not.
Right.
And we got it. Ohio, just this week, is first publicizing the marriage equality decision of the lower court.
Okay.
And by publicizing it, what I mean is the birth certificate case.
Mm-hmm.
In Texas,
mm-hmm.
The reason that it could be filed as a motion in Mark and Vic's case is because the Fifth Circuit affirmed the lower court ruling.
Wow. Okay.
And so that case was still open, and it affirmed it and said that, yes, your ruling was correct.
Right.
It took this long for the Sixth Circuit to affirm Ohio's lower court ruling, because they disagreed with it.
So the shorthand here is Ohio's last.
Not quite.
Okay.
Florida. Now, our birth certificates are taken care of. Florida's are not. Florida is still refusing to issue two-parent birth certificates for kids. And couples are having to sue right now. They're just starting those suits now.
Well, we knew that there were going to be people dragging their feet from all the Kim Davis, conscientious objector stuff, like she was ever putting her life on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be
like the Holocaust. You know?
It's just like the Holocaust, exactly like that.
Right.
Because in Florida, Florida. If somebody said if it weren't for Florida and Texas, the National Enquirer would be out of business.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna test the laws. They're gonna test it until they can protest and try and.
And you mentioned Kim Davis, the couple that forced Kim Davis's hand, forced her to issue the licenses, and she went to jail for 5 days because she refused to.
Right.
They're saying they're sorry that they made her a national figure.
Yeah, but everybody got a really great Halloween costume that year.
Well, that's true. They saw her up close, and they saw her in all of her glory, witnessing and next to Huckabee.
They shouldn't feel bad. They shouldn't feel bad because there was going to be a martyr somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were trying, and when I say they, the people that were against the gay marriage ruling, so sorry, they were hunting for somebody to hold out there as the lone Christian who was doing the right thing. Blah, blah. And I did read where Kim Davis switched to the Republican Party, and I was like, she wasn't already?
Yeah, no, she was elected as a Democrat.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, but, there's always, like I said earlier, there's always going to be pushback and blowback from every decision. Somebody's not going to like it. Somebody's going to hold their breath until they turn blue. But she's already, she's the Joe the Plumber of 2015, mm-hmm.
And one of those was going to happen somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. South.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Florida. I'm surprised it didn't happen in Florida.
See, I was expecting it in Texas.
Yeah. Well,
Texas calmed down real quickly. We had a few holdouts.
Because our attorney general was kind of busy with other things. like,
and do you know,
getting
prosecuded. I think that might have had something to do with it.
I really do think it had something to do with it.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't thought. That's why.
I think he was distracted.
Yeah.
He's like, how do I avoid going to jail? Oh, wait, gays are getting married. Oh, wait, how do I avoid going to jail?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I mean, it's like, and Abbott can't do anything.
Yeah, no. Those are more attorney general type things, rulings. So, yeah.
I mean, in some ways, Paxton's indictment helped us, I think. But yeah, I was surprised it didn't happen in Florida. But the couple should not. You have to do what you have to do to get your due justice, mm-hmm. and they did what they had to do. And the right wingers pounced on it as this is our martyr.
Mm-hmm. Now,
they could have picked a better martyr, frankly.
Now, a few states did not have rulings. See, we had our Mark and Vic ruling.
Right.
DeLeon is the name of the case.
Right,
because of
Nicole Dittman and
Cleo.
And
so since we had a local case, any problems like this, rather than having to file a motion or file a new lawsuit, you mm-hmm. just file it as a motion in the open case.
Right.
And that's what they're doing here. That's what they're doing in most states.
Right.
Georgia didn't have a case.
Right.
Florida had several cases, I guess.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they're just not being as strong as Orlando Garcia is. And when I say strong, I mean, he just said, well, this isn't going to happen. I rule this, and we are going to abide by my ruling. The Fifth Circuit affirmed me. And maybe we have a stronger Fifth Circuit, a stronger appeals court circuit here, and the other circuits didn't as...
The Fifth Circuit is really, really conservative, though.
But the day after marriage equality, they affirmed...
The ruling?
Garcia's ruling.
See, I think I still, I mean, Patty and I were there when the Fifth Circuit cases were heard, and I still say that they were going to rule in our favor, but it was close enough to the Supreme Court.
That they didn't have to.
That they didn't have to.
Yeah. We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Teffet. Patty and Laron are out, and our very regular guest is Aaron Moore. Aaron, I'm delighted you're here today.
Yay.
We'll be back with more right after this.
This is Lewis from UT Arlington, and I listen to Lambda Weekly podcasts at lambdaweekly.com.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Aaron Moore. Next week, KNON is having its first annual toy drive for Children's Medical Center, and we'll be accepting your toys all week, but we're having a big party all day next Sunday, so come on by sometime between 10 and 4. We're on the air from 1 to 2, so that would be a good time for you to come by and spend the hour with us here in the studio. We have plenty of room in our lovely new studios.
We'll have eggnog.
Really?
Well, we will.
Oh, we will.
I don't know about anybody else, but I will.
I'm looking at what we have. There'll be some live music. There'll be there'll be food, I'm sure, and Aaron's eggnog.
But yes.
And, you know, come in the studio and join us here for...
Doc wants tamales. Will you bring tamales?
No.
Okay.
So it's our first annual toy drive. Bring a toy. Bring an unwrapped toy, though. It doesn't have to be something expensive. Just something that a kid that's in the hospital might enjoy.
Yeah.
And
I always try and do gender-neutral toys when I do toy drives.
Guns?
No. Dinosaurs, usually. But... Just because, you know, if there's a preponderance of dolls or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever.
So come on by next week.
Bring a gender-neutral unwrapped toy is my point.
For some of the gender-neutral children
in the
hospital.
Yes. I'm not going to stereotype anyone.
Just saying, bring
I mean, I'm
toy,
the one. Okay, during the break, I'm really glad. I know I'm arguing with you about a toy drive. I'm really glad that the on the air light works because during the break I was talking about how to fix the chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of stereotypes,
mm-hmm.
So I'm like,
yeah, she's bringing a hacksaw next week.
Not a hacksaw, it's a circular saw. So.
Dallas's Episcopal Diocese has a new bishop.
Mm-hmm.
The old bishop was not a friend to the LGBT community. The new one is a little bit better. But he came up with a solution to same-sex marriage here.
Okay, wait. First of all,
mm-hmm.
let's just say that the Episcopal Church has said that it's up to the individual bishops about whether or not they want to do perform same-gender marriage.
And the Episcopal Church has a lesbian bishop out in California.
Yes.
They had, and he's retired now, a gay bishop
Gene Robinson.
In New Hampshire for, what, 15, 20
a
years?
A long time. He was the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
well,
gay is not new to the Episcopal Church.
No, gay is not new to the Episcopal Church.
And accepting gays is not new to the Episcopal Church.
He had a pink outfit. I can't think of the name for it, but his
stole.
Vestments. That was it. Were pink. So yeah, I mean yeah, gay not new, but here the bishop was ultra conservative and was sometimes outright hostile.
Now a couple of years ago, when the Episcopal Church voted to allow same-sex marriage, there was an out.
Which is something the Methodists have yet to do, by the way.
The Methodists have not done that yet.
Which shocks the heck out of me.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I digress.
But the Episcopals did, but they gave the bishops an out. If you're against it, your diocese does not have to have same-sex marriage.
Which is
and
also...
there are seven in North America out of something like 100 or 150 dioceses.
That's true with a lot of religions, though. I mean, you can have a there's conservative Jews and there's, you know, very
the difference is
Catholics and
in Judaism, it would be by synagogue. It would be a rabbi who would opt out.
I see.
And so in that case, you don't want... Okay, so I'll go to the synagogue across the street.
Okay.
And that's not a problem when you can go to that one right there.
Well, it is if there's only one synagogue in your town.
It is.
Yeah.
That would be a problem.
But yeah, so the new guy came up with a compromise where he won't
allow any of the 60 or some odd churches in his diocese.
Episcopal churches in his diocese to perform same-sex marriages. But you can go to Fort Worth and have it done. That's okay.
And that was his compromise.
That is his compromise. So they're calling it the I-30 plan.
Now, here's what's so odd about it. A couple of years ago, when they first voted for this, a number of churches in this area, mostly over in Fort Worth, withdrew from the Episcopal Church and joined some very conservative Anglican sect.
Yeah.
And so the churches that were left, and what they did was they bought their actual church buildings from the Episcopal Church, they separated, and they are no longer affiliated. So what's left are fairly liberal churches.
Yeah, and I wonder how long and how much pressure, if at all, they're going to put on the bishop to change his mind. Because, one, has anybody verified that there are any Episcopal churches in Fort Worth that will perform a same-sex marriage?
I think the ones that are left, yes.
Or is he just shoving them over there?
And the bishop over there doesn't have a problem with it.
Okay.
It is not forbidden in their diocese. It might not be everyone.
Right.
Because I think the priest in that church still has the right to say, I'm just not comfortable with this.
And that's fine, and that's always been our argument. You know, nobody is forcing any religion to perform marriages.
Mm-hmm.
But if your church structure, governmental structure, says you can, then you should.
Well, their church governmental structure also says that the bishop can say no for his whole area.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's...
And that's fine.
That was the compromise.
And that's fine. I mean, part of the, you know, freedom of religion, the true freedom of religion is the freedom to choose your own religion, mm-hmm. not to have freedom to do whatever you want. It's to choose your own religion and not be persecuted for it. So I'm kind of okay with that, but it's kind of wishy-washy to say, I won't do it, but the guy next door will,
mm-hmm.
you know. I mean,
it's kind of like these RFRA lawsuits that are going on
now,
right
now. What's a RFRA?
A RFRA is the Religious Freedom
Restoration.
Restoration, thank you, Act. And in Indiana, there's a lawsuit on that going on that right now because they passed a RFRA, and one after another conference and convention started canceling in Indiana. So they passed a fix, which wasn't much of a fix. But the people who passed the original RFRA are saying that the fix is unconstitutional, and they're suing for that to get rid of that fix because they want to be able to discriminate.
Right.
And what the Religious Freedom Restoration Act does, the full one, it says that you don't have to do something that would go against your own personal religious beliefs, like bake a cake for a gay couple, take pictures of a gay couple's wedding. What else? Take rent out your
tuxedos.
Yeah, tuxedos to a gay couple, because you know if a gay person wears a tuxedo, how could a straight person wear it the next time?
It's got cooties.
It does.
You know, well, I was talking to Steve Rudner about this stuff, and he's the chair of the Equality Texas Board. Just a smart, smart guy. And he was saying, well, the religious right is so fond of slippery slopes. Where do you stop? You know, do you, as a bricklayer, say, I'm not going to build this building because there may be gay weddings held in it? Or as a construction worker, you know, or as a street worker, say, I'm not going to pour this concrete because there may be gays driving on it? You know, I mean, at what point do public service providers get to say, this is not something I'm comfortable doing?
Okay, so Ryan Anderson, and who is he? He's a right-wing somebody.
Okay.
Oh, he's from the Heritage Foundation.
My favorite.
He was talking on The Atlantic's Unfinished Business, which is a TV show, an interview show. He's a traditional marriage advocate. And he says the conservative evangelicals now, because of this, a terrible thing that we're doing to them. Conservative evangelicals have a harder time coming out against same-sex marriage than gays have coming out.
So it's harder to come out as an evangelical than it is to come out as a gay person.
And an evangelical who's against same-sex marriage.
My heart bleeds for them. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. God, isn't it just amazing how these people who have been in the privilege and at the top of the totem pole for, 250 years in this country, all of a sudden get one little perceived slight and they hold their breaths and...
Anderson explained that he believes the federal government doesn't need to pass a national non-discrimination act that would force businesses, even religious wedding vendors, to serve same-sex couples and their weddings. He asserted that in a free society...
What about lunch counters? Can I sit at the lunch counter?
Not if there's another one over there that... So you go to the lesbian lunch
counter. I'll go to the lesbian lunch counter.
But florists, bakers, and photographers have the right to run their businesses in accordance with their belief that marriage should only be between one man and one woman. And like I said to the mayor of Plano, after they were trying to organize the repeal of their equal rights ordinance, I said, you know, I have a real simple solution. Do you have a list of your city's homophobic florists? I would be happy to publicize it for you.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to go to one of your homophobic florists.
No.
He said, he had a good answer. His answer was, you know, the reason we passed this was because people in Plano don't believe in discrimination.
Exactly.
I mean, that was the whole
period.
Answer.
Yeah.
We don't believe in discrimination.
Right.
Here.
It's just, I mean, it's...
In other words, there aren't homophobic florists. In fact, most of our florists, just like most of your florists in Dallas, are gay.
It's this whole...
Not that I'm stereotyping.
It's this whole idea that if you have more, I have less.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand... And of course, the tried and true meme now about how does my marriage affect your marriage at all?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, or that somebody's going to go through years and years of hormone treatments and surgeries to have sexual alignment surgery just so they can hang out in the opposite sex bathroom. I mean, really? Seriously? I mean, the scare tactics that they're using, and then now this whole, I'm being persecuted, you know, I don't get to do what I want to do now. Oh, I'm so sorry about that. Really? Really sorry about
you're
that.
You're going to have to take my business.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
Take my money.
You're going to have to take my money.
You know,
and I'm going to have to pay you a fair wage.
let me go on with some of what he said.
Okay, sorry.
So what I would suggest, the protections here would be market competition. Already 89% of the Fortune 500 companies have voluntarily enacted non-discrimination statutes on the basis of sexual orientation. This is working its way out on a voluntary basis. So he's holding against us, basically, the fact that most companies are already on board.
Right.
And that's Fortune 500 companies. Do you work for a Fortune 500 company?
No, I work for the government.
I don't either. Josh, do you? No. Doc, do you? No, I didn't think so. None of us work for a Fortune 500 company. But 89% of Fortune 500 companies are voluntarily enacted, so therefore the government doesn't have to. Well, you know, when you have that big a consensus – sometimes it's just time to say, okay, this is the rule for everybody.
But, yeah.
Okay. So Anderson detested the analogy because the host brought this up, and with integrated lunch counters during the civil rights movement of the 1960s. He detested the analogy, it says here, and argued that it was wrong to suggest that the struggles faced by African Americans in the 1960s are comparable to the issues faced by LGBT community today. Now, he's conflating two different things. We're not saying they're the same thing. They're
right.
not.
Right. No.
They're not. Different things.
Very different.
One of the things that is a problem with for gay people, for gay kids especially, is chances are their parents aren't gay. And you do have to come out to parents who possibly are not going to accept you. That's a completely different thing. It has nothing to do with the civil rights movement.
Right.
Nothing at all. It's a different issue. Lunch counters. Then it was lunch counters. This one's florists.
Right.
It's accommodations to the public.
Right.
In that way, that is the same thing.
It's similar, yeah.
That, I'm saying that part of it
yeah.
is the same thing. Because generally the laws that are written for non-discrimination say you have to accommodate the public. If you are doing a service to the public, you're a florist, you're a restaurant, you're a rental car company, you're a photographer, you're a hotel. You have to treat anybody who comes to your hotel who can pay for your service, you have to treat them all the same way.
Right.
That's all.
Right.
So in that way, it is the same thing.
Well, it's saying discrimination is discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to pick who your clientele is.
Now, he's saying this is the reason for him being against it. I think it's offensive to many black people. That's his whole argument. Well, we're acknowledging and saying, no, it's a completely different thing.
Right.
The discrimination that the African-American community suffered was disgusting, and it took federal troops coming in to integrate schools. We understand that.
Right.
This isn't taking federal troops to come in. It just took one police officer to arrest one county clerk.
Well, and I really hate getting dragged into the oppression Olympics. I mean, it's...
And I'm not trying to do that. I'm saying
when they try yeah. and do that, it's like you can't compare the fight. You know, well, it's different kinds of discrimination, but it's still discrimination.
It's still, yeah.
I mean, you have a very visible... ethnicity, so do Muslims, you know, so do a lot of, you know, nationalities. We don't, but you're not going to get kicked out of your house for being black. You know, we might get kicked out of our house for being gay. You know, you're not going to get kicked out of your church for being black. We might, you know, so, I mean, it's all the same kind of us versus them. We know better what's right for you. And how to treat you, because you make us uncomfortable. For whatever reason, you make me uncomfortable.
And you know what? I love when churches say, you can't come to our church anymore because you're gay. I have a good example. Mm. There was a church in, I can't remember where it was, Ohio maybe? It was somewhere in the Midwest.
Are you picking on Ohio?
Yeah, because
okay.
they have been great.
Because Ohio.
They got a new pastor. Pastor said, I'm not comfortable with our gay choir director. Who had been there for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
And fired him. The whole church got up and walked out. He in a church that had filled the sanctuary every Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
they were getting something like 15 people after that. Church closed at the end of that year.
Yeah. Well,
you know, so let them. That's a good place where the marketplace can work.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Let the market determine what's
and
correct.
And that was a Methodist church. But Methodists run the full range.
Yeah, oh yeah.
From very conservative to very
like
liberal.
Most religions, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't want to get into this whole, you know, on either side, you know, we're right, they're wrong about discrimination.
Yeah, exactly.
Bottom line, if you offer a service and I have the money to pay for your service, you owe me that service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's not, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what you think. What you think you can think on after 5 o'clock or on the weekends, you know?
Right.
So, anyway, yeah, I agree.
It's a job, and you know what? Sometimes when you're at work, you have to do something that isn't your favorite thing to do.
Especially when you're elected to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kim Davis.
Right, yeah, especially her. But you know what? Sometimes you have a better day at work than other times, and you know, here's where I don't have a problem with photographers, and here's where actually, if they wouldn't let their bigotry blind them to be so hateful.
Mm.
They could get out of doing. A photographer could get out of photographing any wedding he wants to. You know what they have to say?
What?
Oh, you said that's June 15th. I'm booked.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Can I make a recommendation to somebody else who might be free? Is that so
can
hard
to do? Can I send
you
to the lesbian photographer?
You know what? You keep a couple of names.
In Fort Worth?
Yeah, you keep a couple of names available. You just tell I'm booked.
Yeah.
You do it politely.
And this goes back to Patty's let the bigots show themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can fight discrimination if it's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's the subtle, what you're recommending, that's harder to suss out and find. But, you know, discrimination is discrimination is discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly but surely we're getting more equal in this country, which I have to be proud of.
Yep.
So.
We are. And it's not even Texas that's...
Texas is not last.
Are not last.
We're not number 50. We're not number 50. Can be our new rallying cry.
And that's what it is. We're out of time. I want to thank everybody for being here. Next week is our toy drive. Bring an unwrapped toy to the studio during our show. If you can't be here during the show, you can bring it before or after. We're having a party all day here at KNON next Sunday. And join us in the studio for our show. For all of us here at Lambda Weekly, we'll see you next week. Have a good week.